Our word of the day is energia. Some might pronounce it energia, but in the Greek, you know, when we look at our pronunciation guide and you have the epsilon iota, it suggests we pronounce that as a long I, as a height. And so we're going to try it. Pronounce it that way, energia. And it's where we arrive our English word, energy. You can hear it, energy. And our noun, I'm going to focus mostly on the noun. And so the noun energia, it only occurs in the New Testament 8 times. But there is a verb, energeo, that occurs 21 times. And so the verb, it just has the idea to be at work, to be operative, to be effective, to be engaged in activity. That's the idea of energeo. And when we come to the noun has the idea of action, or activity, energy, operation, function. And when we take a look at this noun in scripture of the 8 occurrences, it has the idea of supernatural or superhuman, if you will, activity. And so we see it can be used as the devil's activity. But primarily it's going to be used of God's activity. And so when we're talking about God's activity, God's energy, God's activity, it finds its basis in his inherent ability, in his power. And it also finds its basis in the divine nature. And so, it's going to be completely in line and an expression of the divine nature. You know, whenever you're doing a word study, it's a good idea sometimes to take a look at the adjective also. And so the adjective, it only occurs 3 times in the New Testament. But the adjective has the idea of something, you know, that's active, energetic, effectual, adapted to accomplish a thing. And so, you know, it's interesting, and we'll see it in the King James when we look at the noun. We're going to see it many times or a few times it's translated effectual working. And so the idea of effectual comes from the idea of efficient. When God is always operating efficiently. He doesn't have to waste a lot of energy to accomplish what he intends to accomplish. When you think about efficiency, you can think about how much energy you have. You know, and when you were young, you could do a lot of different things and you may not be efficient, but you had enough energy to overcome that. I think about it. So here's an illustration. As you get a little older, and if you have a house and you live upstairs, you know, and when you're younger, you don't care if you forget something upstairs because, you know, you just run up and get it. But then as you get older, you know, there's an energy expenditure involved to go back up there and get it. And so then it becomes a decision. And so, you know, you want to get smarter, you know, as you get older. And so then before you go downstairs, you want to make sure you're not leaving anything so you don't have to go back up or but at home. So, but when we're talking about God's activity, it finds its basis in his inherent ability, his power, his omnipotence, but it's also a reflection of his divine nature. And his activity, though, it's always efficient. And so this is our word today, energia. I might go to a couple verses. We'll look at the adjective and a couple places we have the verb, but I going to focus mostly on the now. So let's pray and we'll get started. Father, we do thank you for the day. We're thankful just for the opportunities of it, to be together, to be under your word, just to be related to the common salvation we share of Christ. And we just pray your spirit would continue to upgrade our spirits and to guide us in this time. Thank you. In Christ's name. Amen. So, well, let's go ahead and go to a place where we have the verb first. The verb is always a good place to start in word studies. And so when we're talking about the verb, it's energeo, energeo. And we have this verb, and the verb occurs 21 times, but I'm just going to illustrate it a couple times here before we get to the noun. And so over in Hebrews for an adjective, but for the verb, I'm going to go to Philippians in chapter 2 and verse 13. And so in Hebrews 2:13, and we're going to have the verb. Did I say Hebrews again? I'm eventually going to get to the Hebrews. Philippians 2:13. Okay, so, and we do have the verb twice in this verse. And so now the second verb, if you have a King James, you're not going to recognize it, you know, by the definitions we've given, to work, to operate, to be effective, to engage in activity. It's translated do in the King James. That's the second verbal form. So in Philippians 2:13, for it is God which works in you. And so there's our first use of the verb. So God is working. He's operating. He's effective. He's engaged in activity in you. Both to will. And the idea of will is just to desire. And then to do, it's just an infinitive of our verb. To operate, to engage in the activity of his good pleasure. And so anyway, it's a kind of a fun verse, but there's a good illustration of the verb being used. Now let's consider a couple uses of the adjective. And this time we can go to Hebrews. And so let's do that. Let's go to Hebrews 4:12. And so in Hebrews 4:12, talking about the word of God. So Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God, King James says it's quick. I haven't looked up that in my old Oxford English dictionary to see what they did with quick there. But this is our word for living. And so for the word of God is living. And then we see in the next clause, and powerful. The word powerful is our adjective. From its inner gaze, it's active, it's energetic. And so the word of God is living and energetic. It's adapted to accomplish a thing, if you will. And, you know, and that's important. That's why we want, you know, to be preaching the word, you know, from the pulpit in our Bible studies, because it's the word of God that's living and energetic and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, the two immaterial parts of man, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Let's look at a couple more. Let's look at another adjective. I should have maybe gone to this one first, since it was, we were already in Philippians. But let's look at Philippians 1:6, where we have the adjective. Okay, and so let's see. Okay. Let's see here, my time's on. Okay, I'm not sure if I gave a bad reference here or if I wrote it down wrong. Okay, it's not worth getting bogged down right there. There was an illustration. I must have wrote, at least I'm not picking it up. Okay, let's not worry about that one. Let me go to 1 Corinthians 16:9. 1 Corinthians 16:9. And so here we're going to see it translated effectual. And so so Paul's writing to the Corinthians, of course, here, and he's shared with them that he may stay a while with them, but he's going to tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. And then we see in the explanation of that in verse 9, it says, "For a great door..." And the King James says effectual. And the idea of effectual, this is our adjective, just an energetic and effective and active describing this door. It's a, this door is open, a great and effectual door. You know, a door that's adapted to accomplishing a thing is kind of the idea, is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. So again, I'm just illustrating the root of our word here used in an adjective. But let's go ahead and go to the noun now. So the, our noun, energia, it occurs 8 times in the New Testament. And it does, it is looking at activity or action. And we're going to see it, it's in the New Testament, it's used of supernatural activity or operation. And so first, let's look at, because I did mention it's used of the devil and his activity. And so if we go over to 2 Thessalonians, and so in 2 Thessalonians, you know, Paul's making it clear here that, they couldn't be in the day of the Lord yet. And they couldn't be in the day of the Lord yet because the departure had not occurred. You know, the rapture had occurred. The restrainer had not come to be out of the midst and so forth. And so in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we are going to find our noun in 2 Thessalonians 2:9. So let me pick up verse 8, and we'll see that we have a reference to the lawless one here in 2 Thessalonians 2:8. And then shall the lawless one be revealed. And so the lawlessness one is not going to be revealed until the restrainer comes to be out of the midst. And so you see that in verse 7, and this is a mystery. And so this mystery is already in operation. You have the verb here in verse 7. So let me just back up to verse 7. It says, for the mystery of lawlessness has already worked. It's already operative. It's already engaged in the activity. It says, only he who now letteth, just restrains, will do so until he comes to be out of the way. Talking about the Holy Spirit. And then that will occur, of course, at the same time that we have our meeting in the air. The Holy Spirit will come to be out of the midst. And so the restrainer will be removed from his residence on earth. And so it's kind of like pulling out the chair. You know, in basketball, we used to call it in the post. When you're guarding a post player, a post player is somebody who plays with his back to the hoop and is trying to get deep positions. And so they can really lean on you and put all their weight on you when they're playing defense in the post. Well, we would call it pulling the chair when you give them a lot of resistance. And so they're really leaning into you and putting all of their weight. And then you just back up, you pull the chair, and you let them fall. When I think of the Holy Spirit, when he comes to be out of the midst, when the church has been raptured, God's going to pull the chair on Satan. Satan is pushing hard against the decree. And at some point, perhaps today, this could happen. And, you know, Satan is going to be able to reveal his man of lawlessness. So that's just to get into a little bit of the context here. And so you see in verse 8, and then shall that wicked one, or just our lawlessness one, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and he shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him, so talking about the man of lawlessness in verse 9. And so this is where we have our nap. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. And so here's our word translated working. Whose coming is after or according to the working. We could translate this the activity, the operation of Satan. It's measured by his activity. So remember our word energia has the idea of energy, operation, working, activity, action. These are all the way that this word can be translated. And so his coming, the lawless one, is going to be measured by the activity of Satan. And we're going to see that Satan's activity is going to be tied into some manifestation of his abilities, because we see it's going to be according to the action of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. And the lying wonders, they're false wonders. It's the word for pseudos, false wonders. So anyway, Satan is going to be very involved in that. This will be a supernatural activity that's it's going to be held up as to this person who's referred to as the lawless one. And so anyway, let's look at another place where we have our word, and we just keep on in this context. Just two verses later in 2:11. We have our word again. And so in the King James, unfortunately, they translate it strong, a strong delusion. And so they apparently translate this word strong here. But it's just an activity of delusion. So here, let's Let me just go ahead and continue on in verse 10, and we'll get to 11. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And we get to verse 11, and on account of this, or just for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion. And so the strong delusion here is just an energy of delusion, an operation of delusion, that they should believe not a lie, but the lie. They're gonna believe the lie. And so the man of lawlessness is going to present a lie. I believe that lie goes back to man has the potential to be like God. And you know, you think of all of this stuff that's going on right now with transhumanism and the potential of mankind and what it could be. I think humanity is going to be ready to receive this message. But here you see that God's going to send them an energy of, and the word delusion, I should just comment on that. It's just an air or an energy of wandering, an energy of error. It comes from our word, this is plan A, planet, to wander. God's going to send them an energy, an operation of error or wandering. And that they should believe the lie. And so they're going to have a lot of things, if you will, a lot of reasons to believe the lie. And anyway, so that's our word. So now let's look at the other occurrences of this word. Energia, activity, an action, an energy, an operation, a working. Let's go first over to Ephesians in chapter 1. Now, we're going to have our noun in 119. If I want to go one more verse, it'll be, we'll have the verb of this word that occurs 21 times, and now on verse 8. But we have the verb in verse 20. And so to get a little bit of a run, let's pick up in Ephesians 1:17. So here Paul says that God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the full experiential knowledge of him. And then verse 18, the eyes of your, not your understanding, but your heart. It's talking about the inner man. The eyes of your heart being enlightened. Just having been enlightened, in a state of having been enlightened, that you may know, and so that in order that you may factually know, what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And then in verse 19, this continues on, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us. And so the exceeding greatness of his inherent ability towards us who believe, just the ones believing. And then you see this last clause that says according to the working. And so here our word is translated according to the working. According to the activity of, it says, his mighty power. It's to the activity of the might of his strength is how we would translate this. And so it's interesting, your New American Standard adds the ellipsis, these are, going back to the previous three things that they might know. Listen, let me back up. That you might know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe. These are in accordance or measured by the working or the activity, the energy of the strength of his might. And now we see, verse 20, we have the verb talking about, you know, this comes back to which he wrought in Christ. And so just which he worked or he brought about. I see the New American Standard says he brought about, but that's our verb form. He was operative in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavens. You know, it's interesting as Paul works through this as he's developing, you know, the believer's position in Christ. You know, it's important to know how God was active and what Christ was doing. And here we see he was active and raising Christ out from the dead ones, and he set him down at his own right hand in the heavenlies. Well, then, you know, we see that Paul's going to make that connection to us. Let's just read Ephesians 2:5 and 2:6. Even when we were dead in trespasses, has he made us alive together with Christ? By grace are you saved. You're in a state of being saved. And then in verse 6, and has raised us up together and has made us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. You know, and so this goes back to God's activity. It's efficient, but it finds its basis in God's power and God's inherent ability. And it's also a reflection of the divine nature. God's activity always reflects the reality of who he is, you know, going back to his divine nature. Okay, so let's go. We're in Ephesians. Let's just go over to Ephesians 3. And so Paul's going to say that his ministry was a free gift. And so it was freely given to him by the grace of God. And it was according to, I think the King James says, the effectual working of his power. So let's see this in Ephesians 3:7 is our next verse we're going to consider. Now I'm going to back up in the context because, you know, this is a context that'll be familiar to you because Paul is talking about the mystery of the Christ that he wrote before when he was talking about the new creation in Ephesians 2. And so let's pick up in Ephesians 3:4. He says, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of the Christ. The Christ being the new creation, where Christians in Christ are part of a new creative act of God. And, you know, Christ was making both Jew and Gentile into one new man, which he was created in himself of the two into one new man. And so when we come back to verse 5, it says, which in other, not ages, but generations was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles, even prophets by the Spirit. And then we see this is tying to the concept of the oneness, the Christ here, that Gentiles, not should be, but are. The Gentiles are fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. Okay, so now that gets us up to our verse. where we're going to have our noun, the idea of this activity or this energy. And so Paul says in verse 7, whereof I was made, or I just came to be a minister, a servant, according to the gift, the free gift, the no strings attached gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working. The idea of the activity of his power. So the effectual working of his power, and this is the power word, his inherent ability. This goes back to his omnipotence. God's all powerful. He can do anything, as long as it's in line with his divine nature. And so Paul here looking at his role in all of this, though, something that was given to him as a free gift by the grace of God. This wasn't out from Paul's choice. This wasn't out from Paul's strength. This is God's activity and action. This is his power, God's strength, God's ability that was being seen visibly through activity. And so Paul says, whereof I am made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given to me by the effectual working, the activity, the energy or the operation of his power. And so let me just go ahead, just for context, let's just pick this up, because we see this comes back. This ties kind of the context off, if I go to 3:9, talking about the Christ here and how Paul is the one who's been given this mystery to share. It says, unto me, and who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach. The idea of preaches to good news among the Gentiles, the unsearchable riches of the Christ. And to make all men see, or just to bring to light, what is not the fellowship, I'm going to translate this, the dispensation of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world or ages has been hid in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. And so we'll just stop there. Paul can challenge me in Ephesians with his sentences of where I'm going to stop. And so another a good illustration of that word. We're still in Ephesians. We have one more in Ephesians we want to look at is in chapter 4. And so Paul's going to describe the body of Christ that's being fitted together and it's being knitted together. He says, according to the effectual working, in reference to each individual part. It's interesting. And so let's go to, this is Ephesians 4:16. I'm going to drop into verse 15. It's hard to know how far back I want to go, but you have spiritual gifts mentioned over in 4:12 for the edifying of the body. So let me just read that. We see after it says he gave some evangelists, some pastor teachers in verse 11 for the perfecting of the saints, for a work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now I'm going to drop that down to 15. Verse 16 is what I want. But it says in verse 15, but speaking the truth is just a Greek verbal form of truth. You could translate it, but truthing it by love, that we may grow because of him in all things. I'm going to translate an ice as a causal ice, that we grow because of him in all things. Talking about the head of the body here, you see that in the last clause, who is the head, even Christ. So he's the head of the body. We're talking about the Christ in the context. Now we get to verse 16. And the reason I had to back up and show that is because it says from whom. This is going back to the head. And the from, it's out from as to source, is the idea in verse 16. And so talking about Christ, out from whom the whole body is, he says here, is being fitly joined. The idea of being fitted together. And it's a present passive participle. And so out from whom Christ, the body, is being fitted together. You know, we're kind of
so he's doing it, and he's also, King James says compacted. He's also, it says knitting together. So he's fitting the body together, and he's knitting. Word sumabazo, I'm going to just translate it, knitting together. It's another present passive participle. This goes back out from the head, and he's doing the fitting and the knitting. And now the King James says here by, but it's a D, it's just through. Through which every joint supplier, reading the King James, according to the effectual working or an activity, an operation, in a measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying itself in love. Let me read how the New King translates. It says from, but I would say out from, whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. The idea of joint ligament, that which binds, according to the effective working action by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Interesting. So I'm going to read the New King. I'm going to read the New American Standard. From whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So, so you can see, you know, that the idea of love here, the love that's Christ love, that's He love. We can only do that as spiritual, of course, as we're filled by the Spirit. But that love is an important aspect for the body to be functioning as the head intends it to be. As it's, you know, it is being fitted together and knitted together. This is according to the activity actual working in a measure of every part. This is going to be an increase of the body, not in number, but in growth. This causes the growth of the body for the building of itself up in life. Okay, so let's see. We have a few more to look at. Over in Philippians chapter 3, Paul is going to. He speaks of the certainty that Jesus Christ is going to transform our physical body to be like unto his body. And we're going to see that this is according to the activity of his power. It's to the working of his ability, his power. So this is Philippians 3 and the verses 21. But let's see how this ties in with verse 20 also. So Philippians 3, 20, 21. So in Philippians 3, 20, you know, important verse to keep in mind as we've got lots of distractions going on in the world right now. It seems like we've been bombarded. For the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says in verse 21, who shall change our vile body. He's going to, it literally says, who shall transform our body of limitation. That it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. And now how is this going to happen? What kind of, where does the power, the activity come for this to take place? It says, according to the working, the idea, this is the same word we've seen translated effectual working previously, the idea of activity, whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And so it's according to the activity notes. It's his energy. It's his activity. It's his operation, whereby he is able even to subdue, arrange under all things unto himself. Okay, well, you know, we've looked at a couple adjectives, we looked at a couple verbs, we've now looked at seven, eight occurrences. And so we have, six of the eight. And so we have two more places to go. These eight occurrences of this now. And so over in Colossians chapter 1, verse 29. And here we are, we do have both the noun and the verb used in the same verse. So in Colossians 1:29, so we're going to see, you know, Paul is going to state, before verse 29, Paul's going to state that he proclaims and he teaches in wisdom so that Christians can mature in Christ. He wants to present each one mature in Christ. And then Paul's going to tell us that he labors and strives in this pursuit, but he tells us that it's according to God's work, God's activity. This is, it'll be our now, God's energy. He says, which works in him, that's going to be the verb, which is operating in him, in power, in inherent ability. So let's go to Colossians 1 and just do, for a little bit of context, let me back up to verse 27. Verse 27, you know, a couple of things. It's to whom God, it's the God, it's talking about the Father, desired to make known. Now, you may want to make a little note here. If you have a micron pen of the word known, you might want to put a little EXP, which is short for experiential knowledge. And so to whom the God desired to make experientially known, what is the riches of the glory of this mystery? Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And, you know, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Good understanding. If you connect to the right verses, you can demonstrate this is really the promise of glory. Christ in you is the promise of glory. Because that hope comes from the promise from God. And so Christ in you guarantees that you eventually will match up to God's opinion of who you are in Christ. But you know, in present tense salvation, we don't arrive where we arrive at our full potential of being everything that God counts us to be in Christ. But we can get to a point of relative maturity where we can be touching, if you will. We can be touching God's intent of who we are in Christ. Even more. But, you know, then we've got to jump again, touch it again. It's kind of a repetitive thing. We don't, we never jump and then we abide. We're there. That's going to happen at the match. And so, Paul in verse 28, he says, whom we have preached, just whom we announce, warning every man. And the idea of just warning every man is just putting into mind for everyone and teaching every man in all wisdom. Wisdom implies that there's some knowledge here involved that that can be useful. And so Paul is putting to mind and teaching everyone in all wisdom that we may present each one or every man as mature. The word perfect is mature. This is that verse right here that you see right here on the wall. Each one mature in Christ Jesus. Talking about relative maturity in relation to our position in Christ. Now, Paul is, he's announcing this. He's putting everyone in mind of this. And he's teaching everyone. In verse 29, he says, whereto also I labor. I labor. And so, you know, when I see this word, I think of Dale, because Dale made it pretty clear that this kind of labor is blood, sweat, and tears. It's effort. And so Paul says he labors here. You know, not everything came easy. He had to put some effort in. But it wasn't, the source of his activity wasn't his own strength. And so it says, whereunto I also labor, and then he says striving. And then, and this is from agonizo, and this is a participle. Striving, present participle, and agonizo. The idea of, you can hear our English word, agonize. It says, whereunto also I labor, striving or agonizing. He's struggling according to his working. And so according to his working, that's our word, it's translated working. According to his activity, his energy. And then we have our verb. He says, which works in me. I think James says mightily. But he says, which works, or you have to say, which is operating in me. And then rather translate this word mightily. It's just in power. It's our power term. It's dunamis. It's from dunamis. So this is the, so Paul is what he's saying is he's striving according to his energy or activity, which is operating me in power and inherent ability. So Paul is laboring and he's struggling, but he's not doing it independent. He's doing it in God's energy and operation. So that leads us one more place to go, and it is here in Colossians. It's in chapter 2. And so in Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, and Paul speaks of the Christian having been co-buried with Christ by baptism. That's by spirit baptism. And he's also co-risen. And this co-risen is through faith of the operation of God. And so the one having raised Christ out from dead ones. And so let's go, so Colossians 2:12 is our verse. And then King James, we're going to see our word translated operation. And there's a number of things in here. Expand on this context. This is a fun context, but let me just drop into it. Verse, let me pick up in verse 11. In whom, talking about in Christ, you are also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So in verse 12, co-buried with him. I'm translating it co-buried on person on purpose because it's a Greek word that is in the same preposition. And so that doesn't really jump out when you say buried with them. It would be kind of their word with. But it's just co-buried with him by baptism. That's by spirit baptism. This is something that God the Father counts. It says, in whom, it says, wherein, I'm just going to translate this, in whom, also, you are co-risen. And so, you are co-risen, and it's just, you have been co-risen. These are both aorist participles, or passive participles. So you co-buried intimately together with him by baptism, in whom also you have been co-raised with. Through the faith of the operation. There's our word. Through the working. The energizing. The working. You see, we're co-buried with them by baptism. And also, you are co-risen with them. Through the faith of the working of God, who has raised him, Christ, out from dead. And you see how this goes on and how wise believers, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, as he made alive together with him, intimately together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Stop. So anyway, coming back to our inner Gaia. The idea of activity, action, operation, energy. This word is now used for supernatural activity, beyond human activity. And so we can be, we have been participants of God's activity and present tense salvation. We can continue to experience God's activity in our life, and as we do that, participate. So God's activity finds its basis in its inherent ability. And so we say that salvation is a work of God. Talk about our position in Christ. It's out from God the Father that we are in him. When we read over in Romans 8, I'll just go ahead and finish over. Don't have a word over there in Romans 8, but just a good reminder that God's the one who's doing it. He's carrying it out. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good. To them that are loving God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did mark off the bounds to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did mark off the bounds, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? Since God is for us, it may be those that are looking to cooperate with God. Let him express his inherent ability through the activity that he has provided us with this so great salvation. For us to be able to be growing in grace and experiential knowledge of our Lord and Savior. One of the greatest gifts that he's given to any creator. Father, thank you for the day. Thankful for your word. Thankful for grace, for his fruit. We're thankful for your effectual working in our lives. Maybe those that are